Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we've got a great episode for you today, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you biblical strategies and motivations so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. And so I'm joined today by a very special guest, one of my favorites to have on the podcast. And this is my lovely wife, my beautiful wife, Miranda.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks.
So it's always good to have you on.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. And we work together really well. So, man, I'm just excited for the episode today. And, of course, we're going to go in and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. But before we jump into the podcast, hey, I want to encourage you that if this has been a blessing to you, if any of the episodes have been a blessing to you, then, you know, share it with somebody. Send them an email. Send them a link. Share the feed with them. And I don't know how you're listening to us, but you can pretty much get the podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon, any of those, and then various other ones. Get on there, get the archives, download the apps, take it with you on the go, share it with somebody that you love. You can also go to our Facebook page, Grace for This City Podcast Facebook page, or the YouTube channel, and you can watch the podcast. We video record the podcast as we do this live, and this is not necessarily rehearsed. We just come in and we press record and we follow the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that's how we flow. So we thank you for tuning in. Wherever you're at in the nations, hey, send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv, if the podcast has been a blessing to you. Or if you've got a particular question that you want answered, give us a call, 870-741-9099. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Miranda, let's jump right down into the episode today. And I'd asked you kind of what the theme or the title, and you told me it was what?
Pray, fight, hold.
Pray, fight, hold.
Till hell gives way.
Oh, I love it. Till hell gives way. And that reminded me of a scripture. I want to start out with this in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And it says like this, don't draw back, because my soul has no pleasure in him. Him who? Him, the one that draws back. He said, for we are not of those who draw back, but of those who believe. Hallelujah. And so I think this is going to be exciting. And these are the days that we really need to press. And we need to hold, and we need to, just storm the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, why don't you just take us on in to the episode?
Well, yeah. What you just said about these are the days that we need to press and hold. We've gained so much ground, specifically as a nation, because the leader that we have has just made so many moves for righteousness. And so I think the Lord is kind of got his finger on this word, hold the ground. Because if you look back over history and you see where things got better, things got good, righteousness was thriving and people got comfortable. And then they, kind of got a little distracted maybe, got too comfortable and stopped taking more ground. Because, things were good again. Mm-hmm. But that quote, pray, fight, hold until hell gives way, is taken from this book. I don't know. Can we get it up there? Yeah. Sparkling Fountain. It's an old book.
Yeah, that's hard to find.
Yeah, really hard to find. It's by Fred T. Coram. And the book is the whole story of the move of God in Springfield, Missouri. And it started, well, this book starts, the it starts with the part where a lady named Rachel Sizelove, her and her husband were United Methodist. itinerant preachers, circuit riding back then, and they would travel all over southern Missouri, northern Arkansas, and preach. But they were in the United Methodist denomination. And I don't know how they ended up in Los Angeles in 1906, 1907, whatever year, but they were out there. And it shares her whole story about what happened when she walked into that mission and how the Lord just melted her heart. And she couldn't stop singing, praying. There was a work of sanctification that happened in her life. And so she went back to Springfield, Missouri to tell her sister. And her sister and some others began to pray in a move of God into Springfield, Missouri. Mm. And you may know of it as Central Bible College. It's kind of what that grew into, but many other things. But at the early days, there was quite a group of prayers in this area, and they encountered some resistance, to say the least, a lot of resistance for what the Holy Ghost was trying to do, the move that was trying to take place. And so there was a prayer warrior named Amanda Benedict, and she was a fighter, and she had joined their ranks, the prayer forces ranks, and she was just encouraging everybody. There was a For one full year, she went on bread and water. The Lord told her to. You can only do that if the Lord tells you to. Go on bread and water, praying for this move. But before she moved to heaven, she sent a letter to this group. And there's a copy of it in here. And that's where this quote comes from. And she said, "Pray, fight, hold, till hell gives way. Till the real power, the power of his might, of our real God shall fall with such invincible force that sin shall go down before it, and the Christ that saves from sin shall be lifted up, that bodies may be healed and devils cast out. Keep praying for the preachers. We must put up a resolute winning fight on their behalf. Our fighting force is small," and this is a really, really good point, because a lot of you that may be listening, you may find that you're in a small fighting force. "But it's gaining ground. Every forward step is hotly contended, but our flag is flying. Our bugle is sounding an advance to our forces, a retreat to the foe." Hallelujah. And she says, "My heart cried out incessantly during last night's meeting, 'Take us over the top, Lord. Take us over the top.'" And he did. Glory. That same work, that same move of God that happened in Azusa moved into Springfield, and there's still remnants of it today in Springfield, Missouri, still ministries of it today. And so anyway, just jumping into that, did you have anything on that?
Well, no, I was just thinking, an additional side thought is in 1 Samuel chapter 14, it says that it may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few.
Yeah.
And, depending on kind of where we want to point the direction of the episode, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on in our nation that seem overwhelming. Mm. But we don't need to underestimate the ability of the Lord to do what he needs to do and for his plans and purposes to be accomplished, that it may not take a whole bunch. I mean, the greater the, you know, more is awesome. But he can say by many or by few. Listen, depending on what God wants done, he's just looking for some somebodies. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need everybody. He just needs a somebody. Yeah. He needs someone to agree with him in prayer, mm-hmm. pick up on his heart of prayer and his intercession, and begin to work with Holy Ghost in praying out that perfect will of God into the earth, or, you know, even into your situation. You know, I don't know what you're facing or whatever your circumstances are, but you don't need everybody to be in agreement. God just needs you or somebody, maybe one or two, that will come into agreement with him and begin to pray out his plans and purposes concerning that situation that you're facing. And concerning the nation, things are going to go the way of the Lord, because he's going to save by few if necessary. Mm-hmm. The Lord's going to work with us.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what he said? Mm-hmm. May it be that the Lord will work for us. Yeah, the Lord's going to work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's working for us. We're working for him. Mm-hmm. But we're connected in what he's wanting to do, and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
He likes to do that. I mean, that's his pattern in the scripture, is taking the weak things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
The small to overtake the large.
Oh, and in that same passage, let me turn there, because mm-hmm. I love this little thought here. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 28. And that's what Myrna was quoting. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are mighty. There's a whole bunch of people going to be shamed. Yeah. I mean, we don't, you know, I obviously we're not wishing that on anybody, mm-hmm. but there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be shamed. There's a whole bunch of people who think that they are so strong, they're so wise, they're so progressive, they're so with it. You know what I mean? They're so woke.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, God's going to reveal how asleep they've really been, how blind they really are, how weak they really are. And God's going to use the foolish things. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not saying it's foolish. He's saying in the eyes of the world, the things that he's going to use, they've already been deemed foolish and dumb and backwards and mm-hmm. Irrelevant and old.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And then he said, verse 28, and the base things, mm-hmm. and the base things God's going to use, he's going to use these base things and the things which are despised, God's chosen. Watch this. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, whole lot of people right now are relying on things that already are, because they're naturally minded. They can't see anything outside of just what they can naturally pick up, naturally discern. But the Lord said, I'm going to use the things that are not. He's going to start utilizing unseen things mm-hmm. to overwhelm the things that are seen, meaning we are entering into a very spiritual time,
yeah.
a very spiritual time where the reality of how things work in the spirit are going to be utilized to bring into the natural. Those things which have been unseen are going to be brought into the realm of the seen, and they're going to bring to nothing the things that are. That's what that's talking about. And God specializes in this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's raising up others who will also specialize in these activities as well, that know how to move mm-hmm. with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Know how to move with the Spirit. You can't necessarily see it, but you can tell when it's been somewhere. You know, Jesus equated it to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the wind? No, yeah. but you can see the leaves blowing, mm-hmm. and you can feel the breeze on your skin. Mm-hmm. You can tell when the Spirit is in operation, and he's going to use that thing right there. The very unseen things are going to start manifesting in such a potency. You're definitely gonna know when it's in function, and you're gonna see the result of when it's blown through. Mm-hmm. But God's gonna use these things.
Hallelujah! And it's little grandmas, little old grandmas.
Yeah.
Praying, and the deep state's crumbling.
Yeah, or little 7-year-old boys.
Who I was just thinking just that.
give themselves to prophetic intercession and song. We just witnessed this last mm-hmm. night, actually, at one of our prayer services, and the Lord was using a 7-year-old boy to prophetically declare in song. Mm-hmm. And you know, so somebody say, well, that's foolish. Well, he just said he was going to use the things that are despised, and you just mentioned two particular age groups mm-hmm. you know, that people are kind of pushing out to the sidelines, but God's mm-hmm. saying, I'm not done with them. And I'm going to do some stuff through the young and the old that you didn't think were possible. In fact, these mm-hmm. are the days where I'm going to do some stuff, says the Lord, that you thought were impossible. But see, you just didn't know how things work in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Listen, friend, don't put all your strength and your confidence and your hope in the seen things. Nothing wrong with the seen things. The seen thing is a real thing. But even the unseen realm is a real thing. And that's where the ultimate influencing force has originated, and it's been in the spiritual realm. But unfortunately, a lot of people have relegated that stuff to the weirdos and to the, you know, unnecessary, you know, we believe in science, you know, we trust science. Well, little humanist, God's going to reveal himself to you in a mighty way, to where the spiritual realities will be undeniable.
Yeah, that's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it. You know, everybody has their supply. There's not a human being alive on the earth that doesn't have a supply to give to this move. And that is what is so precious about his kingdom. It's upside down from the world. They can't include everybody. They don't know how to make everybody's gifts work. So people get excluded. Or they get, what is that, where they're trying to kill off the older people?
Yeah.
Euthanasia, you know, abortion. You know, we can't make all these people fit in our little plan. But it's not your plan. Your plan's not going to work. It didn't come from him. It's his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's got their supply. You know, you're talking about even the children. The move of God that happened, the Welsh revival, right before Azusa Street, 1904. There were so many people bringing a supply. A lot of people spend most of their time talking about Evan Roberts because he carried the weight of so much of it, because he was one of the main prayers that was praying it in, even from age 12. They said they would find him on the side of the road, and he was just in intercession. And, you know, they were like, what's wrong with you? He's like, I just was following the Spirit, you know. But when the move finally came, you know, he went in and he started preaching in Moriah Chapel. But there wasn't a response for a little bit, maybe for a couple nights. And then I think it was maybe the second or third night, and this little girl, she just started crying out to God and praying. And then that move just blew like a mighty wind right through that building. And it swept through the whole land. There were so many churches that were on fire from that move. Remember, it shut down ball games. People weren't going to ball games anymore. The newspapers had nothing to write about because crime had stopped. All they could tell you about was the church you should go to. That's, you know, what's happening at the different churches. The smallest lines that you would have to wait in. That's what they reported on. But everybody brought their supply to that, no matter what age. And so, wherever you are, you have to know that. No matter how old, your supply still counts. What you're bringing to the table still counts. And that you can't make excuses anymore for why you're not doing your part. Because of this, because of that, you know, I got a bunch of kids, or, you know, I can't hardly get out of my chair. You know, no, it's a spiritual supply. You know, and those physical things will line up as you get in your spiritual spot, your seat, your place that he's made for you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a place in the spirit that you hold. And he says, take your seat, get up in your chair, you're sitting next to me in the throne, hallelujah, on the throne, sitting next to me, take your seat and let's do business. Let's pray. Let's fight. Let's hold until hell gives way.
Yeah, I think in this time, you know, that the Lord is doing some stuff as far as spiritual work that can be accomplished, where a lot of our efforts have been solely based in natural things, meaning I've got to literally go here, go there, rent a car, get an airplane, go to Africa, whatever. But the Lord is speaking to his body right now that there are things that he can do by way of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Or we say it like this, but by the Spirit. We're coming into days where the knowledge of how things work in the Spirit is opening up to us. And we realize that there is ways to get things accomplished spiritually that overwhelm or overpower, or let me say it like this, that we're not limited to how things work in the natural. Remember, several people were translated. Remember when Philip was translated to the Ethiopian eunuch and then ministered the gospel, and then boom, he was moved elsewhere. Those were the beginnings of those operations. We're coming into a maturity of those operations, where by the Spirit, God is showing us how things really work in the Spirit. We're having the eyes of our understanding is being enlightened to the overwhelming authority that the spirit realm has over the natural realm, that the natural laws are not the universal laws, They are laws that govern the age of time. But yet God is bringing us into a place to where the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus, that we are born of the Word, that the Zoe life of God dwells in us, that we are in the body of Christ, that there is a higher law, the revelation that we're seated with him in the heavenlies, and that our operation, our point of operation, is a heavenly one, not a natural one. We're not just praying within or under the reality of the natural realm. In Christ Jesus, we are over the reality of the natural realm, spiritually speaking. And so I just want to release that to you now. Mm-hmm. Be open.
Yeah.
Be open. Be open. Be open to that. God is giving us insight and revelation now. And so you may be sitting in your chair. You may be, whatever your posture is, God just needs access to your spirit, man. God needs mm-hmm. access to you. He just wants you to humble yourself before him and say, God, whatever you need to do, do through me. Take me where I need to go. You can move me. You can move me. I can pray with you. Mm-hmm. Things can be accomplished in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Something being prayed out over here is moving and impacting something around the world somewhere. Don't put God in a box in this era.
Yeah. And well, something we've been saying a lot is we've never been this way before.
Yeah.
And
but we're going this way
we're
now.
We're going this way now. You know, you might used to go out and street witness, and maybe you're just in a place where you don't see how that can happen right now. Well, maybe he's going to take you a different way. Maybe while you're sleeping at night. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you believe it. You know, and you're working in union with him. You know, it's not some weird thing where he just uses your body or uses you. You're in fellowship with him. You're in union with him. You're one with him.
Remember when Paul said that he remembered the day where he was caught up and in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. These are those days. Mm-hmm. In the body or out of the body, you won't know. Mm-hmm. But you'll be communing with the Lord, and he's going to be working right now. He's going to be working. Great activity. Great attention has been turned to the activities in the earth, is what I heard the Lord say. Great attention. Great attention has been turned to the activities in the earth. Why? Because we're nearing the end. We are nearing the end. And he's given us the keys. He said, I'll build my church. I'll build my church, and I'll give them the keys. What are the keys? How things work in the spirit. He's giving us the knowledge of how to take advantage of spiritual laws, how to move with him in the spirit, in the body or out of the body. We're coming into those days where you may not know. You'll be here ministering. Suddenly, you'll be elsewhere ministering, all by the Spirit of the Lord. These are great days of spiritual function. Why? Because he's wanting to get the gospel to people. There are strategic movements happening right now. Strategic spiritual movements, heavenly plans being revealed and unveiled so that the work can be done.
Yes.
Jesus said that he hungered and thirsted after something. In John 4, he's talking about the food, and he said, my food is to do his will and to finish his work. Listen, friends, right now there's a lot of attention being given to finishing the work.
That's it. That's good. Not Hallelujah. Quitting. Not giving up. And, you know, I heard a minister say recently that, you know, he was taken to heaven, and the Lord showed him how things work in the spirit. And he said that right before a person's breakthrough comes, there's a lot of angelic activity, a lot of light, a lot of power, a lot of transactions in the spirit taking place. And the enemy, the demonic realm, can see that. In the spirit, they can see that you're about to get your breakthrough. They see the angels moving quicker. They see the, you know, flashes of lightning. They see, you know, whatever it is that God uses in the spirit. And so when they see that happening around an individual, they go after it to try to stop it. And so that's usually why right before your breakthrough, right before our nation's breakthrough, coronavirus, you know, rioting, fires, hurricanes, because there's a lot of angelic activity. There's a lot transpiring. There's a lot of transactions taking place in the spirit over our nation, over your life. And so the enemy tries to stop it. But we can't cave. We can't give in. We have to hold until hell loosens up and gives way and allows that breakthrough to come in. And I was just reminded of how that's happened in our lives, and I'm sure many of you watching and listening how that's happened. And I just wanted to read this by Lynn Hammond. Did you have something before I do that?
No.
Lynn Hammond, I don't know if you, she's a pastor in Minnesota. She's got a Devotions for the Praying Heart prayer notes. Powerful, powerful book full of scripture and just her experiences. It's just awesome. Anyway, she shares how she says, we've read in the book of Acts, we've seen the magnificent moves and outstanding miracles of the Spirit that swept thousands into the kingdom of God in an instant. And we've yearned to see it happen again. We've heard or read the prophecies declaring that such manifestations will be seen in our day. But as the months pass, here's where the battle is. And then years, without seeing the fullness of the glory we're believing for, it's easy to let our passion wane. As distractions set in and we get busy with the practical realities of life, even those of us who are radically committed to praying for the glory can become passive about it. We still hope and trust that the outpouring will come, but if it doesn't, well, we can still have happy lives and everything will be all right. Such an attitude seems practical, and it's definitely more comfortable than burning with a desire that gets you up early and keeps you up late, crying out to God for the glory. But there's one problem with it. It won't get the job done. The attitude of everything will be all right. It takes fiery passion and force to break through the kind of demonic resistance that's been set up to stop us from laying hold of the promise of God for this generation. It takes desperation and determination to fight the good fight of faith until every foe falls and we as the church possess once again the fullness of God's power that belongs to us in Jesus. If you don't have that kind of passion, or if you had it once and it has begun to fade, it's time to stir the embers of your heart and get them glowing. It's time to open your Bible, get on your knees, and let the Holy Ghost pour fuel on that flickering flame within you until it blazes like a bonfire. It's time for us to all cry out in one accord, Lord, pour out your glory on the church again. And I was reminded of, and we've shared Brownsville stories from time to time, but our youth group, when we were in youth group, was just had the privilege to go down to the Brownsville revival for 3 years, and then they came to our church for a weekend, and it was just such a pivotal time in my life, and I know so many others. But I can remember coming back so on fire that I know that even the first night when our bus pulled in from Brownsville, we came back from Brownsville, it was about 14 hours, and our bus pulled in, and we knew that the church service, our Sunday morning service at our church, is going to be in about 3 hours, because I think we pulled in daylight. We just drove all night, and I couldn't wait. I drove home, and I got dressed. I didn't sleep, and just couldn't wait for that church service. And I remember having this thought, I'm so excited about going to church. I don't know if I've ever felt like this in my whole life. You know, I was excited for other reasons, you know, being seen or seeing somebody, you know. But for the first time, it was like, I'm excited about the move of God that's going to happen this morning. And just the fire and the zeal. And you can look back in your life and remember that passion, that hot, fervent passion in your life. And then you can trace back and see different things, setups, things that came to pour water on that fire, to snuff that fire out. And, you know, for us, it was pretty intense because our little group, it was a small group of teenagers, was just so on fire from that first year, that first summer that we went. And, you know, it got pretty intense because there were some parents and some grown-ups that got involved, and they didn't like what was happening. And the enemy just tried to squelch it.
Yeah.
And I can look back in my life, and I can see where disappointment started to settle in. And I began to feel like I'm standing against something that is so much bigger than me. You know, these are the authorities in my life, and, you know, they're not wanting this to happen. And so it was like, what do I do? You know, how do I submit to those who are over me, but still keep this fiery, hot passion going? How do you keep this fervor going? And so I can look back, I can see where the enemy used things to put those fires out. And for everybody, you know, something different. It's something that doesn't like what's moving into their territory. It's heavenly transaction. It's heavenly things transpiring, spiritual things where somebody's throne is about to be toppled in an area. And a move of God is going to come, outbursts of miracles. The glory cloud, hallelujah, where people are getting new teeth, where they're getting new body parts. We're talking about that level of Shekinah glory.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, hell doesn't want it. And they will do whatever they can to stop it.
Yeah. And there are no off limits. And so, you know, here's something you need to keep in mind. And we've experienced this several times, and it's still, every time we experience it, we have to remind ourselves, yeah, this is how this works. Because you know, it in some ways it's not old hat yet. But what the enemy does is he deals in deception. He markets lies. And when you begin to move based on the word of the Lord, he will come and he'll try and resist it. He'll set up his little demon hordes, and they'll try and resist it, and they'll use anybody and everybody. Yeah. We've had some of the closest people to us with chinks in their armor get subverted by the enemy and completely turn against us. People that you didn't think would ever be your enemy suddenly have nothing to do with you, throw you to the curb, reject you, whatever, put distance there, whatever their excuse or their reasons are. Listen, the enemy's dirty, and he's going to use whatever he possibly can, even those closest to you as possible. He's going to use whatever he can to try and put a resistance to the thing that God is doing in you. But what we need to remember is in these moments, you must continue to apply steady forward pressure. You don't need to back up. You don't need to back off. You need to continue to storm the gates of hell. He's going to put up some resistance. And just recently, again, I just heard another story. I mean, this is a long list of personal testimonies, things in my personal life, and then others that we've heard personal testimonies from to confirm this. But there was a situation, this man, he was praying, and I know who this guy is, and he was praying, and this demonic spirit appeared and just stood very, very, very visible and just stood there. And so the man began to rebuke this demonic spirit, and it's like that spirit didn't even flinch. He just stayed in his place, and this man was rebuking him and telling him to go. Finally, after about 20 minutes, and I've had a personal experience that also witnesses to this very exact situation, okay? Mm-hmm. But after about 20 minutes, that demon spirit finally left. And he went to the Lord, and he was asking the Lord about this. And he said, Lord, do I not have authority? Are my words not powerful? Was I not in you? Was I not operating with the word? Did I not release the word? Did I not give clear instruction for that demon spirit to be rebuked? And he was asking the Lord this, and the Lord began to speak back to him and tell him that the demonic realm operates, they peddle in, their modus operandi is deception and lies. And he said what that spirit was doing, because most people will back off, he said what that spirit was doing was trying to call your bluff. And he stood his ground, knowing that if this particular man, that if he didn't back up, he would have to yield. But I'm telling you, they're so used to people backing up in fear, cowering, changing their mind. Remember in James, talks about the double-minded man. And what about that double-minded man? He can be tossed around like a rag doll. The double-minded person can be maneuvered off base. They can be pushed and tilted, and they can be shifted to where they lose their balance. And then James also says this in the book of James, let not that man, the double-minded man, the unstable, the easily shakable man, let not that man expect he'll receive anything. Now, specifically it says from the Lord, but we could say of the Lord. And in this move right now, you know, and specifically, you know, how this applies to your context, I don't know. But I'm talking about in the move right now, the body of Christ is being postured in very powerful pace. Yeah. We're being postured in the posture and the pace of the finish. And there's a great anointing. There's a great maturing happening in the body, a great glorification happening in the body right now. And I'm telling you, what the enemy's going to do is try and call your bluff. Yeah. And there will be, mark my words, there will be more demonic activity. And I'm talking about maybe even visible, tangible even, but there will be more demonic activity than you've ever faced ever in your entire life. Yeah. But you don't need to be afraid of it. But know this going into it, friend, that when you give the command, when you say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And they sit there. What are they doing? They fully expect you to change your mind. They're thinking you're going to back up, you're going to cower, you're going to tuck your tail in fear, because it's going to look like they're defying you, but it's a bluff. Yeah. It's a sham. They deal in lies. They deal in deception. They will attempt to refute you, but it's a deceptive sham. They know. Listen, you've got to know that you know that you know that you know that when the word of the Lord comes, that word will produce, it will bear fruit in, according to the intended purpose it was released. And if you say, in the name of Jesus, move out of this territory, if you will not back up, man, I don't even know if I'm saying this right. If I'm even articulating what I'm seeing in the spirit, they are going to try and call your, they're going to trick you. They're going to try and trick you. It's going to, nobody's going to flinch. Nobody's going to budge. They're going to attempt to cause you to second guess what you just said. Now, listen, this is going to play out in several different ways. If you operate in healing, when you release the word of the Lord, do not be moved by what you see. If you're on a specific assignment, whatever the situation is, when you give the word of the Lord, you cannot be moved by what you see. You must know. You must have absolute, total, resilient, steadfast, immovable confidence that when you give the word of the Lord, even if you sit there and you stare at that demon for 20 minutes, he is only working a plan to get you to adjust, change, water down, back up, back off, renegotiate. Do not negotiate with the devil.
That's it.
I took a long time to say that, but I feel like we need to get that in our spirit. We need to get that in our spirit. Listen, they are deceivers. They are deceivers.
Maxim told me he had a dream last night that he was in a dark room. There was a bunch of people there. I was there. But the devil kept coming to him and disguised as different people.
Oh, wow. Hello.
And he'll have to, you know, tell it to you later, but he said it would look like this little shadow like moving really fast through the room. And he's like, and I rebuked it, told it to go, but it didn't go. So I was able to share that with him that he had to hold.
You got to hold.
You have to hold.
That little demon was trying to call his bluff. And listen, if they can get to children and impart a spirit of fear. See, what happens is when you receive a spirit of fear or you receive fear into your thinking, into your paradigm of dealing with these things, then they've got a weak area in you that they can manipulate. Because if you're afraid of them, they've got you. If you are afraid of them, they know you won't stand up to them. And so I could totally see how they begin that work, that strategy of fear in vulnerable stages, which is either through trauma, or through age, like a child, or through a traumatic event. In fact, Dr. Billy Brim was sharing a story once, and she was in a tornado, and she got so afraid. And many years later, the Lord was dealing with her about the spirit of fear, and she was praying one day, and the Lord was leading her in this prayer. And she was delivered from a spirit of fear, and she said it looked like a bat that just came out of her body. It was this dark cloud, and it shifted, and it looked like a bat, and it flew off. But she was delivered that day of a spirit of fear, but the Lord told her that spirit of fear came into her in that traumatic event when that tornado came. She was just so afraid. The situations and the circumstance caused so much terror and fright and torment that she received a spirit of fear. She wasn't possessed, but what we would call it, she was demonized. But that spirit of fear got a hold in her soul through that traumatic event. That's what I'm saying. And so, hallelujah. Thank the Lord right now that we are being completely delivered from the strategy of fear. Yes. The strategy of fear. Listen. And the Lord told me this. And let me share this now. But the Lord spoke this to me, not audibly, but the Lord just impressed this on my spirit. That whenever you feel fear, is to appropriate, understand, interpret it correctly, discern it correctly. The demonic realm, they deal in fear. They are fear. It is fear. And so, whenever, as a born again believer, that whenever the sensation or the understanding or the discernment of fear arises, see it for what it is, that it is the presence of something evil. It doesn't mean that you are afraid. Stop being afraid of fear. Does that make sense? Don't be fearful of fear when it arises. Recognize it for what it is. Remember, Scripture says He has not given us a spirit of fear. That you don't have to be afraid whenever the manifestation or the discernment of something evil begins to move in your midst, and you will sense fear. But listen, that doesn't mean you're afraid. Don't be afraid of fear. Don't be afraid that there's a demonic spirit has manifest himself. Know what it is. Know that the sensation or the discernment of fear is the spiritual knowledge and understanding that there's a demonic spirit present, and now you may have to deal with it. I don't know if that makes sense. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost just take what I just said and minister that to you in Jesus' name. You will know what I just said. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But fear is not you afraid of something. I mean, it can be that. Mm-hmm. But the knowledge of fear is discernment. There's a spirit in the situation. Yeah. There's a demonic spirit that has a strategy that's either coming to try and lie to you, to put an arrow in your mind, to shoot a lie, some sort of deceit, some sort of twisting, to give you a thought, idea, or a suggestion. Mm-hmm. Don't own the fear. Recognize it for what it is. Remember, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He hasn't given to you a spirit of fear. But know that whenever you begin to pick up on that, that the enemy's trying to work you over, and you can just stand firm against it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Miss Brenda Kruko always says, go inside. There's always a stone inside just right for that demon.
Hallelujah.
It's the answer and the word of the Lord that's going to take him out. And, you know, Grace, go inside. Yeah, just... the enemy's working up here, you know, clouds and smoke and lights and fear and terror. And, you know, the shadow on the wall is huge, but it's really only a shirt hanging up or something, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where he's working. But you got to go inside. And there's power there. There is resurrection, dunamis, dynamite power there that trumps all of those things, all of those dark things. And, you know, the story of Grace Roos, I don't know if anyone's heard of her. She's written some books on the blood, but she said in a time of prayer, she looked up and through her door came this huge devil. And, you know, it was evil looking and it was all the way to her ceiling, I guess. And just laughing and mocking and ridiculing and grabbed her up and grabbed her and was like, just like squeezing her and laughing in her face and just trying to bring terror, you know. And obviously the Lord knew that she could handle it. But she spoke and rebuked and spoke and rebuked and get out and get out and get out. And he just kept laughing, throwing his head back and laughing. And then she said that she had to go inside and she felt a whip, like someone put a whip in her hand. And she looked and it was the blood of Jesus. And she began to whip that thing with the blood of Jesus. And she said he looked for a minute like he was scared, but then he tried to bluff her some more.
That's good.
But then he was gone. That whip took him out. But see, that's the word that the Lord will give you. And you'll feel it. You'll sense it in your spirit, man. And some people say, I know it in my knower. And that's how they know. But some people feel that power like you're just about to explode on the inside. You know, you go there and you get that word or you get that next step to move something out of the way that needs to move out of the way. You get that word of the Lord that you need to release to cause that thing to move.
Mm.
But what we're talking about is Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
The violent take it.
Yeah, take it by force.
I've got something on that. If I can find it, go ahead.
Yeah. But I'll read really quick what Miss Lynn Hammond says. We must be eager, spiritually violent people who take ground for the kingdom of God by force. We must fight not against people, but against Satan and against the fleshly distractions that try to draw us off course. We must press past everything that would try to hinder us and take possession of what God promised us, the very presence and power of Jesus himself. And I remember at Brownsville, all of the several different ministers would preach on this thing, pray the price. That, yeah, you want all this, you want all these miracles, you want this power, you want this glory, but there is a price to be prayed. It's going to take force. It's going to take effort for us to see this end time move. You know, just because the 70 years was up in Daniel's lifetime doesn't mean he just sat down eating grapes and cheese and going, well, here, it's time, come on in. No, he contended hotly. He contended hotly for that prophecy to come to pass. And there's prophecies over you. There's prophecies over your church, over your city, over your nation that you have to take by force.
Yeah. Yeah. Daniel even got in the posture to say, hey, Lord, this is what you said. Now give me the prayer. Give me the prayer right now. Give me the strategy right now to begin to pray that in to place. I was thinking about what you said in Matthew 11. The Amplified says that the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion.
Wow.
It says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violent. One translation says it forces its way violently. Now, obviously, there is no physical hostility implied here, but when you have your eyes open to the reality of the life that is in Christ Jesus, no apologies should be made for going after it.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I did a podcast just a couple weeks ago, and it was about not apologizing. You know, there is this spirit right now, very intimidating spirit over the nation, and he has this principality, this strong man, this powerful demonic spirit. He's trying to cause not only the church but other people as well, but he's trying to cause the church to bow down and apologize and say, we're sorry. We're sorry for moving forward. We're sorry for pressing forward. We're sorry for being a necessary, you know, apologizing for even feeling shame for even suggesting we're essential in national matters. Mm. Do you see that? Listen, we're going to have to call that dude's bluff, man, and not back down. We are not going to apologize that we are forcefully stepping into kingdom agenda. We are forcefully advancing the king's dominion in and on the earth. And people are freaking out all over the place. I mean, there is all kinds of naysayers and negative Nancys rising up all over the place. I mean, shaming the church for getting involved politically, shaming the church for speaking out concerning the political activity, shaming the church for staying open, shaming the church for singing songs, shaming the church for wanting to keep the doors open, shaming the church. I mean, any conceivable way to make the church look stupid, make Christians look dumb and ignorant, mm-hmm. to make these people look like they're just not with the times. Yeah. Listen, do not apologize. No apologies are necessary.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that there's not some things that have been truthfully and in the spirit of truth and in the spirit of life brought up that can be evaluated, discussed. You know, there's a lot of tension. There's a lot of feelings that have been hurt. But I'm telling you right now, we are not going to apologize. We are not going to apologize for the truth of the word. We're not going to apologize for the truth of the mission. We're not going to apologize for Jesus. We're not going to apologize for the kingdom. We are not going to apologize for throwing up resistance to a antichrist mm-hmm. agenda.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Listen, have our apologies won the world to Christ? Has our defeatism broke down the door of bondages in anybody's life? No. I don't think so.
No. Nope.
All right, love, in the last few moments of the podcast, what do you got?
Don't quit. If you have to write down the word the Lord gave you and go back to it, say it over and over until hell gives way. Hold your ground. Just because you don't see it in a few days, in a few weeks, in a few months, if it's still taking years. It was years. It's been, 16 years at least, I think, or longer since we were in Brownsville, that we first heard the call of the Lord to begin to contend for a move in our area. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I dropped it a few times, just like, but you know what? The prayers I prayed didn't die. And God would bring them up to me. He'd be like, remember when you prayed this for your city? You remember when you prayed this? I haven't forgotten and I'm still answering it. Are you going to still stay in there with me? And so, you know, if you don't, he'll move to somebody else eventually. You know, if you're just going to not ever step up and get in there with him. But when you stay with it, you will see the answer. When we hold, hell has to give way.
Hey, Dawn Allen just commented on the live feed, and my good friend Dawn Allen, Two Guys in a Bible, Christ the Healer television show, Midwest Healing Center, Laurel, Missouri, Alva, Oklahoma, and in Clinton, Iowa, doing great things. But he had this encounter, and he was doing a tent revival, and this witch showed up to kill him. There's a book about it. You need to get the book, 7 Days with a Witch. It's Don's story and the true story of his interaction with the High Witch of the Four Corners. But Don, you just texted this, but the High Witch told him, this witch, and her name was Angelique. But the High Witch said, it's all attached, all their workings, all their doings, it's all attached to the spirit of fear. It's all attached to the spirit of fear. Listen, mm-hmm. listen, break out of that right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just bind the spirit of fear right now. And anybody who's listening and watching, yeah. anybody who's tuning in Jesus. To the archives, we break the power of the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And that shroud of confusion and that cloak of deception and that power of darkness that's been worked against you, we break it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. And I just release right now, I decree right now that you see. You see clear. You see clear in the name of Jesus. Walk in the light. I release it over you right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's your inheritance, that you would have the light of the glorious truth of Jesus Christ enshroud you, hallelujah, that you would not come under the power of darkness, that spirit of fear, that cloak of fear, that dark overshadowing spirit. No, you would come out of that in the name of Jesus and walk in the light. So Father, we just release it right now in Jesus' name. Listen, friend, press. What was the statement, love, said?
Pray, fight, hold.
Pray, fight, hold.
Until hell gives way.
Until hell gives way. Hallelujah. Well, that's our challenge to you today, friend. Pray, fight, hold until hell gives way. Hey, if we can be of support to you in any way, let us know. Reach out to us. Send us an email. hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Give us a call. 870-741-9099. 870-741-9099. How can we pray for you? How can we partner with you? Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast today. Get out there and get some stuff done, friend. And move. Come on. Move and advance in the name of Jesus. Until next time, be blessed.